The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers, the way it ended,
but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know,
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
And good morning. Happy New Year. It's maybe the last time you're able to say this. But it is the first time we're speaking with you, and it's a Packer Sunday. New lineup here on Sunday Karma, despite Kyle's best intentions.
Debatable.
Kyle, what? So we introduced the new Sunday Karma to you today. It is, of course, Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo, Alex Stroph, Craig Karmazin with you. Kyle, why were you so resistant? Like, why have you've been opposed to this? Like,
this is a non-sanctioned show. I looked at the schedule in the calendar. It says Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin and Kyle Wallace, producer. This is a non-sanctioned show. This is not sanctioned by ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, and Good Karma Brands. This is a non-sanctioned show. This is illegal.
That is true. Well, I don't know if that's true.
Whose ass are you attempting to kiss?
I'm not kissing any ass. I'm just a good listener to my boss.
Okay, so who's your boss?
Well, when it comes
to... Isn't it Greg Scalzo?
Confusing. Yeah, that's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, wait, Greg, isn't it you?
It is me, yes.
Well, my boss when I'm in these places...
Okay, so when you're the producer of this show...
Ashton Rotman is my boss as a producer. Brian D is my boss as an on-air host.
Okay, I actually think that's great because when we're on the show together, none of us, like, can be like the boss of anyone else, right? Like, because we all have to be equals when we're on the show. So you're saying when you're a producer, Kyle Ashton's your manager. When you're a host, Brian D's your manager. Right now, Alex Stroph is in the on-air studio, so he's reporting to Brian D. Scalzo's reporting to Brian D. I'm reporting to Brian D.
See, yes, that is correct.
Okay. Now, Scalz, now, do you know what it would take to get you and Alex on the calendar, like to be actually on the schedule?
I think I could get it done in the next 5 minutes here. I think should we get a new schedule sent out just for today?
Update after 10 o'clock.
Does that mean you would update it, or you would ask Ashton or Brian?
No, I would reach out to Brian and Ashton and say, "Hey, can we update the schedule?"
Therefore, we are sanctioned, and Kyle stops pretending like he hates us.
Did he tell you not to come in? It actually makes so much more sense now that Kyle saw the schedule and he's like, I'm just gonna listen to the schedule, because I talked to Craig earlier in the week and he was like, are you good to go on Sunday? I said yeah, and then on Thursday Kyle's like, yeah, I don't think you guys are starting this week.
Yeah,
based off the conversation I had with my people above me, my superiors, they told me.
And Kyle, why are you still in that room over there? Why are you still in the producer's room? I thought Stroph was gonna be the producer. No,
I like being here.
Yeah
I do.
I just don't know.
I like the separation. Like, it's so weird. When you work, me and Craig have been doing this show since 2018 I was producing when Chewy was still on the show.
Well, you said 2018. It's been longer than that, right?
No, it was October of 2018. See, I remember. It was October of 2018 is when I officially took over as the producer of the show.
Okay. So you had done some fill-ins maybe before then?
Yeah, I filled in because I came back in 2016. I filled in here and there. And then I officially became a producer since 2018. We're in the old blue building. And I like this glass separation. It'd be weird being so close to you, Craig.
Like, because I did play tennis this morning. I didn't shower.
Oh, great. Good for us.
I put on extra deodorant after, though, and I changed my clothes. I don't feel like that's, why can't you be in the same room?
No, we can. We're always in the same room. We're courtside together. We had a great time. We're doing that.
Ooh,
but
when we do courtside,
dude, do you see who Kyle was sitting next to?
Oh, Thanasis?
Of course.
Yeah.
Everybody
saw
it.
He wouldn't shut up about it.
That's the homie.
I saw you on social media and
stuff. Yeah, you know, Thanasis came. He had it. You saw him, Craig. He came, and they were trying to say, where do you want to sit, Thanasis? He said, Oh, Kyle, that's my guy. Put me right there.
It was the one empty seat.
No. He said no. I want to sit next to Kyle. And then
Do you think he knows your name?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I asked him that on Friday. He said he does. I don't believe him, number one. Number two, Kyle would not shut up on Friday about the fact that him and Thanasis were coaching up the Bucks on Friday.
Yeah.
They were coaching them up.
The Bucks' record when Kyle's courtside is impressive.
Yeah. I don't know if they've lost when I've been courtside, to be honest. I don't recall going to a loss.
So. Yeah. I guess that being said, does he get your seats in the postseason? How's this work?
No.
That sounds like Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks,
Kyle. That is an excellent idea.
All right, it's a Packers day though. Come on now, let's stay focused here. It's a Packers playoff game, and Kyle's sending. You guys have hear me on the air say that Kyle's a great host, but he's a terrible producer. One of the things he sent out today, and by the way, part of him being a terrible producer is like my screens don't work here. But he would have no idea, like his producers like would normally come in early and check on the stuff to make sure it works. Kyle, I believe, Kyle, have you checked out to make sure everything's like good to go over here?
No.
No, like none of these screens work at all. There's nothing going on here.
Oh, wow.
I actually had a little bit of anxiety driving in because I was like, wow, I'm going to get there at like 9:50, 9:55. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really was going to try to get here at 9:30 because, you know, I want to make sure that I wasn't the one. And then I saw Kyle driving behind me on the highway, the producer, and I was like, oh, no, I'm good. The producer's on the same timeline that I am.
I mean, I walked in at 9:47, and I was the first one of us four here.
Oh, no, so, but I was upstairs already.
Okay, all right. Sorry, Craig.
Yeah. I was already upstairs.
But I flipped the lights on for you.
But
so
Kyle sent this. Packers have no business winning this game. Do you believe they will win? What is the no business? Like, I went on Jen Gabe and Chewy on Friday. I do not understand what's going on here. Like, and 800-990-ESPN, we have the Carbless Talk and Text line. Liss is more Carbless handcrafted premium cocktails. Give us a call. Give us a text. What is this whole, like, Packers have no business winning this game? I don't understand where this is coming from. I would ask Kyle, but he's the one who sent it out, but he's like, who knows what he's doing back there behind the glass.
I'm working hard, Craig. I mean, obviously, have you seen the Eagles play this year?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Eagles roster this year?
Yeah.
Have you seen the Green Bay Packers play this year?
Yes.
Have you seen the Eagles defense this year?
Yes.
Everything about the Philadelphia Eagles, except maybe one position, is better than the Green Bay Packers. The Packers have no business going on a roll against a team that is that good at defense, that has that much explosion on offense, and going in to be able to win this football game. The Packers are not better than the Eagles. We are a true underdog, and I would say we talked about it this week on Kyle Bruston, Nortman, 2-5, ESPN Wisconsin, weekdays. The Packers aren't better than them at any position, and this is probably a bigger challenge than what they faced last year against a Dallas Cowboys team that we thought was fraudulent. Nobody thought the Dallas Cowboys had a chance to make a Super Bowl run this year. Everybody thinks that the Eagles have a legitimate chance to go to a Super Bowl this year. So with that all being said, the Packers are a huge underdog, and we have no
business. They're not a huge underdog, though.
They are.
But that's your opinion. The everybody thinks that they have no chance is such a misnomer. Like, it's a straw man that I think is a defense mechanism.
Wait, I don't know what straw man means.
It means that you're like making up someone else's opinion so that you could argue against
it. I thought
that
was like gaslighting. What does gaslighting mean? People say that all the time, and I don't really know what that means.
That's when you tell somebody that it's their fault, even though it is not their fault at all. It's actually your fault.
So I'm just like blaming someone? Why does it have to be so confusing?
Because it's 2025 and we are very sensitive now, Craig.
So can straw man gaslight people?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm really confused now.
I think that it's about, like, Packers fans, A, wanting a little bit of a defense mechanism so that if there is a loss, it's like, well, the roster was so much better. But B, I think it's more of, like, everyone always wants to be the underdog. And so this idea that, like, nobody believes in the Packers. So when I'm on my living room and the Packers are up by a touchdown, you're like, see, nobody believed in us. But
ESPN's matchup predictor says right now 50.1% Packers, 49.9% Eagles. Who is this, like, no chance the Packers can win?
You guys are doing something right now. You are making Kyle the voice of all Packers fans. This is not everybody's belief, right?
Oh, you hush. You hush, because you know where you're going in the direction you're going. You're supposed to be a Packer backer
like
me.
Will I pick the Eagles to win today? Yes.
Okay, but
will I sit here and say they are not better at them at any position group? No. They have a better coaching staff. They have the better quarterback in this game. We can argue about this all day.
How do the Eagles have the better coaching staff? They're coached.
No, he's saying the Packers.
Give me Matt LaFleur and company. Give me Jordan Love over Jalen Hurts, who's had a very nice year. And obviously, they do a lot of things really well, right?
So the Packers are better than the two most important parts of football.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So let's stop acting like this is a complete mismatch, right? As Craig just pointed out, this ESPN matchup predictor, which I don't know how they do the math there. What is it? Is it 50.2
and 50.1% and 49.9%.
Sounds like a pretty close game to me.
Yes. I mean, it's a coin toss.
This is by far the sexiest matchup of wildcard weekend.
So wait a minute. So what y'all telling me, based off your eyes, based off what we've seen from this Green Bay Packer football team, what you all are saying is that the Packers are not a big underdog today.
No.
That you legitimately believe that the Packers can just go in there and win today. Like, you guys,
Kyle,
think if they played this game 100 times, the Packers will win 49 out of the 100 times? Stop playing with me.
I don't think that. I actually think the Packers would win, like, 44 out of 100. Something like that.
Sure.
Or 46 out of 100. But, like, they're only playing it once, so they have a great chance to win.
In Philadelphia, you're saying 44.
Because
line opened at 3.5. Which means that on a neutral field, then they see this as the Vegas sees this as a half point difference.
Yeah, it's a pretty even game. I mean, that's when I look at it, and you look at, like, there's so many times where it's like, okay, Justin Herbert, we've seen him fail in the postseason. He hasn't been there that much, but we haven't seen him succeed there. And he was a road favorite yesterday, and you saw him throw more interceptions in one game than he threw in the entire season.
Yeah, right.
We've seen Mike Tomlin have incredible regular seasons and then go in the postseason and lose. So when something happens again that we've seen in the postseason, when it's not like a first-time thing, then it's shocking. We've seen Jordan Love go as a touchdown underdog to an NFC East team and play like a perfect game and dominate that team, and their defense play better than they had in any game last year, except maybe the Vikings game, and play incredible. So why couldn't this happen today? Like, the idea that this is because Christian Watson and Jair Alexander are out, that's how it starts.
What do you
like
mean?
That's how, like, if that's, you're like lining up like a Packers and you, like, the Packers, when they start the season, they might as well say Jair Alexander and Christian Watson are out.
That's a fair point. Yep. No argument for me.
Well, okay, so that's cool and all. Like, that was a cute little way to, you know, make jokes and all that. But at the end of the day, you just said two very important players, one being Jair.
One very important player.
I mean, Christian Watson, okay, you're right. Important player. He's not very. Very is a little, you know, that's a little much for me. But Jair Alexander in a game where you have to go against two top-notch wide receivers, a passing game that is pretty good. I mean, Jalen Hurts, if he wasn't coming off injury, I would probably be a little less confident in this game, but the fact that you don't have somebody who's able to stop a number one wide receiver today, that should be very concerning for us. Do you know who A.J. Brown is, Craig?
I do.
A.J. Brown can destroy us. Last time we played him, I think Jair did a good job on him. A.J. had one big play, but now you don't have that guy that can take away the best wide receiver, an elite wide receiver, and have an elite corner to match him. So we saw what happened against the Minnesota Vikings when the Packers put so much concentration on Justin Jefferson. We found out who Jalen Naylor is. My biggest fear is that we will find out who the number three or number four wide receiver from the Philadelphia Eagles is today, and they go and have a touchdown and they have 100-some yards, just like Tim Patrick did against the Green Bay Packers. And so, Craig, this is why I'm so concerned, is I don't think we have enough guys on the back end to slow them down. And me, for one, I don't trust that our run defense
I just don't think their offense, the Eagles' offense, is that good. I think their defense is good.
I also think if your fear as a Packers fan is that the Eagles' number three or four wide receiver is going to go off, you're in a pretty good spot. Like, that's not that legitimate of a fear where it's like, that's what happens.
He's worried about Jalen Naylor and Tim Patrick's of the world.
We lost both games. Those dudes, they had their probably best games. I don't know about Naylor, but I know Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick had a really nice game.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yes, I should be concerned. I should be very concerned. We lost both of those games,
but you just went through the entirety of that spiel without mentioning the name Saquon Barkley, right? Like, that's who I'm scared of. Despite the fact the Packers' run defense is much improved from a year ago, they went from 27th best group, which is fifth worst in the NFL a year ago, to the seventh best group this year. So they've proven they can stop the run. They've only allowed 100 yards on the ground three times this season. So this is a group that's gotten a lot better. But yeah, you're facing a guy who's going to get legitimate MVP votes at the running back position. That's what scares me, not whoever's their third wide receiver these days. I don't think, like, Riley Cooper's in Philly anymore.
There's one game the Packers played this year that I feel like today's game is going to be a lot like one of the games the Packers played this year. And I'll tell you which game it is. And it's not the Eagles game. As we continue, it's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
wouldn't know to what I believe. And no matter what, you never take that from me.
I was just feeling this music. That's why I was like, who is this? Kanye West? Oh. That Kanye guy who I never think is good has some good songs. Sunday Karma, the whole crew here. Strophe, Scalzo, Kyle, Craig. Till noon, when it is Green Bay game day. Who you got today, Strophe?
As of right now, it's not to say that won't change.
Wait. You are you upset about this? And you looked at Greg like there are issues with Green Bay game day?
You mean who's on the show? I thought you were asking me who I'm picking to win the game.
Okay.
We've got the whole crew. We've got Brian Bulaga. We've got John Anderson. We've got Gabe Neitzel. Steve Scafidi is going to drop by for an hour. Rob Domofsky will join us from Philadelphia. Jason Wilde in the 1 o'clock hour.
That show's like legitimately good.
Yeah, we actually have a good show on ESPN Wisconsin. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wild concept.
It's like that happened a few years ago because I was listening one day to Badger Wisconsin College game day. And it was when Colin Russo had taken over. And I was like, wait, what? This show is actually like listenable.
Oh, wow.
Like I had hosted it for like 20 years. Right. So it was awful.
Yeah. And I
was
didn't take any offense to that knowing I hosted it the previous three years. But it's fine. I'm glad it was good when Colin was on.
No, no, exactly. Like when you and I hosted it, it was equally like unlistenable for 23 years.
Yes.
But then Colin Russo, I was like, wow, this show's good all of a sudden.
Well, he actually knows what the hell he's doing. And you add some former pros like Brad Nortman and Chris Orr to the mix.
Yeah, that show got good.
So. Does that make you proud, or are you like, what the hell happened when you listen to something and you're like, wow, we're actually doing good things now?
No, I mean, usually I'm just like competitive, so I'm annoyed like that I sucked that bad for that long.
What do you think of this show as you're making additions to it with me and Scalzo? Is this going to be listenable or even less listenable?
My hope is it'll be listenable and it'll just like have like a buzz and a fun. I mean, the first 15 minutes, 21 minutes, But, well, I mean, you know, there's some things to figure out, right?
We're constrained by Packers right now, you know?
Yeah, we have to talk about the Packers. Yeah. I want to talk about Hank, what was it, Hank Basket?
Hank Basket, yes.
Former Philadelphia Eagles receiver, yeah.
Yeah, does anyone remember? Like, he was so likable. He was like, that was back when, like, I don't know that, like, current NFL players were, like, on reality shows.
Eric Decker had one after Hank Basket.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of copying.
Well, Travis Kelce did a dating show, didn't he? It was horrible, but I watched it back in the day.
You actually watched that?
Yes, live, when it came out.
I do not remember that show.
I think it was, Catching Kelce or something? I think it was on, like, the E! Network.
Yeah.
And he had
he
one representative.
Somebody else that was famous at the time, right? Or who had a famous dad?
Shortly thereafter, I think. Okay. Yeah, whoever won that show. But it was 50 women
like Mark
from 50
Gastineau?
States.
Like Lisa Gastineau?
It might have been.
That was a show also. So I mentioned that today's game is going to remind me of a game this year, and it was a Packers 24-22 win over the Houston Texans, who've now won playoff games in back-to-back years. C.J. Stroud, I think, is kind of at that Jalen Hurts level. You know, there were injuries. That was the big thing, though. You know, the Texans were dealing with offensive line injuries, and they were dealing with no Nico Collins, and then Stephon Diggs went down. So I get that there were injuries, but at the same time, Jordan Love was not back to being Jordan Love yet, right? And the Packers just found a way, and that's what I feel like ends up happening today. I feel like the game goes back and forth. I don't feel like the passing game. I believe the Packers have a better passing game right now than the Philadelphia Eagles.
I agree.
What?
The Packers have a better passing game.
No. I heard what you said.
Than the Philadelphia Eagles.
It was what?
Yeah.
Lil Jon style. What? Strofe is silent because he knows this is crazy. You think the Packers have a better passing game? Do you realize the Eagles had a backup in last weekend? I think he threw for, 300-some yards?
Yeah, it was like 320.
It
doesn't matter. The Green Bay Packers passing game has been struggling
of late. Did you watch the Eagles against the Carolina Panthers?
No, I did not. But I can tell you this much. I know based off the fact that Jaden Reed has not played well of late, right? Jordan Love hasn't been in great rhythm the last couple weeks. There's no way I can sit here to say, as a whole, body of work, that we're going to say that the Eagles have a worse passing game than the Green Bay Packers.
I'm team Kyle here, but let's not forget what the Packers did prior to this two-game losing skid, Kyle, right? This is a team that put up 30 points 5 weeks in a row, which is tied a franchise record. So they were humming there in the middle of December up until that Vikings game, and then we know what happened last week against Chicago. So I don't think this is a blasphemous take, despite the fact I disagree with it.
I don't understand. They have more passing touchdowns. They have more passing yards on equivalent passing attempts. Like what stats are we using to say that the Eagles' passing game is better? I don't think they have a better wide receiver.
They have a better core.
And Malik Willis was there.
They don't have a better core. They have one better wide receiver.
Devontae Smith. You think he'd be the worst? Yeah. You think he wouldn't be the best receiver on the Packers?
I agree. I think either of those guys would be the number one.
Dallas Goedert's a better tight end than Tucker Kraft at this juncture in his career. It's just what it is.
No, they're the same guy. No, they're the same guys.
Let you cook, not them. You're cooking.
Wait, but Kyle, okay.
But
so everyone's talking about Jordan Love hasn't thrown for 300 yards, okay? Let's look at 250 yards or more. Jordan Love's done it three times since November. Jalen Hurts has done it once since September. I mean, they don't have this big passing offense. It really comes down to, can you slow down Saquon Barkley? I think they can.
Okay, all right. Let's load the box and slow down Saquon Barkley and let's do one-on-one with A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and let's see what happens.
I mean, A.J. Brown's going to make plays. A.J. Brown's going to break tackles. A.J. Brown is a beast. But the Packers also are going to spread them out. And, you know, the Packers have such an unpredictable offense. The Packers, the thing no one has said is the Packers have three great running backs all of a sudden. And great might be a reach. But when you look at these guys, don't you look at each of them and you're like, wow, wait, he's good too. Wait, he's kind of good too. Like, the Packers have a depth at running back, too. I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to, like, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if the Packers don't run for more yards than the Eagles today.
That's a take there.
Yeah. Hurts can run. I mean, he's had a really good year on the ground, right? When you watched last night, when you watched Lamar and Derrick Henry, you are facing a better version of that.
But when it comes to running
the football. I know. It sounds
like when it comes
to running the football, yes. No, Saquon and Hurts. In terms of what they've done this year, they are better than Lamar on the ground.
Lamar Jackson's the greatest running quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Greg, this year they have been better. Statistically, they have been.
Saquon's been better.
Yes.
But that's it.
And Jalen Hurts run the ball 150 times this year.
I just don't.
And he missed multiple games.
I just don't see where you're coming up with that.
No, this year, statistically, they are better on the ground. It just is what it is.
The same way the Packers are statistically a better passing offense than Philly.
Wait, when you're saying
you can't use stats for one thing and then dismiss them for the other. Like, you have to have some element of consistency in your argument.
Okay, wait. But you're saying they're better. The Ravens ran for 188 yards a game, and the Eagles ran for 179 yards a game.
Okay, closer than I thought.
Ravens said more. The Ravens are the better running game.
Can we just acknowledge the fact that you just proved this point of how dangerous this attack is?
It's a very dangerous running game attack.
I believe it's the most blasphemous thing I've ever said, and they are what, an 8-yard separation?
I believe the Packers today are going to make the Eagles beat them through the air. I think that is going to be the strategy today.
Is that a good strategy?
Yes.
I just don't understand how. Maybe if it's it, because for me, you have to make Jalen Hurts beat you today. And that's why I think you need to bring constant pressure under Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm not thinking about beating through the air. I'm thinking about making Jalen Hurts just be rushed, making a guy who's coming back off injury, who's probably going to be a little bit rusty, never have a chance to get adjusted. We saw it, right? We saw when Jordan Love came back. Jordan Love did not find his rhythm into the second half when they had no choice but to throw the ball almost every single play. We need to do the same thing to Jalen Hurts so he never gets comfortable, never finds a rhythm whatsoever, so the passing attack is there. But I'm not saying, like, I just want to rush them, right? I don't want them to, you know, be able to throw the ball to A.J. Brown nonstop. I want them to make sure Jalen Hurts is under pressure all day.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this is like some blowout. I'm saying there's like the Packers win this game 44% of the time, and I think this will be one of them. We'll talk to Jason Wilde next, and he'll tell us what he thinks.
Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Milwaukee Bucks try to get their revenge against the New York Knicks today at 2 o'clock right here on ESPN Madison and in Milwaukee on WTMJ. Oh, look at you. You're getting bumped, Alex, probably, what, 1:30?
1:30. You got it.
You get bumped on TMJ, Green Bay Game Day. Gets bumped for a little Bucks-Knicks. Last time the Bucks went to the Knicks, it's a Madison Square Garden. They got dominated. one of the low points of that early part of the season. Bucks now ranked fourth in the East. Knicks ranked third in the East. So nice opportunity to see how things go. Also, nice opportunity to see how things go. Always very smooth when you have a show with four people interviewing one person. We bring in Jason Wilde for his first time on the new Sunday Karma. Good morning, Jason.
We're not changing the name, though, right?
No.
We're keeping Sunday Karma.
It is all about Sunday Karma. I'm pushing for a fifth host, but I don't know what the process is.
Who? You got somebody in mind?
Yeah, I do. Should we divulge it on the air?
Go for it.
I think that's how the show works.
Yeah,
everything happens
on the air.
Yeah,
I think you should go for it. Yeah.
Sean Thompson, who is back. Wait, Jason, do you even know that Sean Thompson is back in Good Karma?
No, the last time I saw Sean Thompson, the Packers were playing in the NFC Championship game in Atlanta. I went down to cover the game. Memorable game for Packers fans as LaTroy Guyon had to play guard by the end of the game. And Ladarius Gunter had a very hard time with Julio Jones. And then the next day.
Wait, by the way, Jason, you are so warped. Like a lot of Packer fans remember who had to play guard. it was really memorable. LaTroyus Guyon.
LaTroy Guyon. He's totally right, Craig.
No, not a lot of Packers fans. I mean,
Ladarius Gunter, everybody remembers.
You have to be a pretty
big
nerd.
Julio Jones went for $190 in that game.
You have to be
Gunter.
A pretty big nerd on that. But by the way, so Sean Thompson, who now runs content at 101.7 The Truth, do you all know the history of Sean and Wilde?
No.
Oh, I mean, because Sean really had nothing to do with it, Wilde, right? Would you say he was an innocent bystander, or would you give him, hey, he's part of the show? Is there the chip on the shoulder, the Wilde chip on the shoulder still against Sean?
Well, first of all, definitely not a chip against Sean. He helped me then the next day after. And by the way, I'd like to push back briefly. The fact that a defensive lineman had to play guard in a game they got blown out in, and in a game that Ladarius Gunter had to cover one of the best wide receivers in NFL history, I think more Packers fans than not who watched that game remember a defensive lineman.
Okay, wait. So, Strophy, you end up doing – I see you on social media. I don't know how it happens, but sometimes you have, a microphone and you're, talking to people on streets.
I do that.
Places,
that's true.
Right?
Yep.
So, can you do that this week? And I don't know if it's right here at the 3rd Street Market Hall or where you would go. And I'm saying if you just talk to 20 random Packer fans –
sure.
Less than four of them will have any recollection of what you're talking about.
Specifically when it comes to LaTroy Guyon playing guard?
Yes, with Packers. I would say about five of the 20 would have to say they're a Packers fan. Acknowledge they're a Packers fan, so I'm not saying random people who aren't Packers fans.
Five of 20 would know.
Oh, you're crazy.
They have to have watched the game. They have to have watched the game.
Even if they watched the game, they would not remember. They wouldn't even remember if Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre was the quarterback in that game.
I think at times we all live in this bubble where everybody remembers because we do this for a living versus most people who go to their friend's house to watch the Packers game, drink some beer, eat some brats, and move on.
There's a chance people would think Don Majkowski was the quarterback in that game. More than they would know who the defensive lineman playing offensive guard was.
What year was this? 2016 was that?
Okay, back to Sean Thompson and why Wilde hates Sean Thompson. All right. Right, so
that's not true. Okay, so he helped me because he was running a station down in Atlanta at that time, and so we booked one of their studios so I could do Wilde and Tausch from their studio. It was before we had these nifty apps and everything else, and so took an Uber to his studio. He could not have been nicer. I don't think he necessarily apologized on behalf of Rich Reynolds, but Sean and I are great.
Okay.
So now
let's go to the quick
the
origin
conflict?
Story.
Yeah, oh, there, I'm, missing,
huge,
I'm missing the conflict.
There's huge origin story here. This is the Jason Wilde Good Karma origin story right now that you're getting. And wow. Kyle, this is important for you to hear. this is the whole Jason Wilde origin story of Jason with Good Karma. So Jason... you think about minor league sports, right? And we all root for minor league sports, and kind of as a community, we want them to do well. And not that we're here to sell for them, but we want them to do well. So,
this is a pretty biased start to the story.
So, there was a Madison baseball team called the Madison Black Wolf. This was before the Madison Mallards existed, And this team was doing all they could just to make it, right? Like, you know, don't you want them to succeed, Strophy, just as you hear this story?
Naturally, of course.
Yeah, right? The community jewel, I would call it. And so, on the eve.
Community jewel.
Anyone who went to a Black Wolf game thinks of it as a jewel. I'm not saying which kind of jewel it was, but it was a jewel. So, on the eve of the first game of the Madison Black Wolf season.
No, not, but of not the first season.
No, of the first game
like
of the season.
Third, oh, but like it was the third season.
Okay, but it was the first game of the season. You know, like when you're looking for momentum, right? Going into the season, and you'd think like the local newspaper would have a nice season preview that would get you excited about this. Jason does this expose about how the team might go out of business and like, basically how the thing is, like, don't go to games because the place is about to go out of business.
Jason.
With all sorts of unnamed sources and all sorts of stuff.
Jason!
But before we keep going forward, do I have my facts right that Jimmy Buffett was a part owner of the Madison Black Wolf? Because that's shown up on their Wikipedia page, Will.
I don't know, Jason. Was he one of your unnamed sources?
Well, he was not one of the unnamed sources, but he had divested from it because they were so, I don't want to get into any sort of legal trouble here.
I think the statute of limitations is up.
poorly mismanaged and perhaps some malfeasance led to them just blowing through their, it was a financial disaster to the point that the league, the Northern League, took ownership of the team.
So
and they were so dishonest about everything that was going on that the expose wound up being necessary as opposed to, look, hey, Madison baseball fans, we are really struggling. They had a whole idea for a new stadium that got completely ignored by the city of Madison and Dane County. And instead of coming to the fans and saying, look, we really want to make baseball work here, but here's what we're up against. Here's what's happened to us, and we're trying to.
Okay, so that's one version of this story. That's one version. So then, so what happens is one of their baseball announcer, you know, who's trying to make it work. You know, we all believe in baseball on the radio here, like Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, to almost
compared him to Bob.
Yeah, to almost. I mean, Wildy, to almost disagree with someone who's a play-by-play radio announcer of baseball team in Wisconsin is almost to disrespect Bob Uecker, as we tell this story.
So,
I didn't know Bob Uecker had a midday show where he trashed me.
So basically, Rich Reynolds was the play-by-play guy, and what he decided was that in order to build excitement for the Madison Black Wolf, anyone who called his radio show or faxed his radio show, because faxes were a big thing then, and if you finished your call or fax by saying an F Jason Wildy,
wow,
then you would get 4 free tickets to an upcoming Madison Black Wolf game.
Oh wow, they didn't get they bleeped out the rest of that.
No, that would all, you didn't say anything. You would just say the letter F and Jason Wildy. God. And if you said that, you'd get 4 free tickets to a Madison Black Wolf game. So that was basically...
way to make extra money for the organization is to give away free tickets.
So you would hear 30 or 40 times a show, if you would listen to a show, Jason Wildy being F'd. And that was the first connection our company had to Jason Wildy. And you guys know Jason well, so you know he probably took that in stride.
Yeah,
right?
He probably loved that. Yeah. Did you call in and ever say F Jason Wildy, Jason? Did you get your 4 free tickets?
I didn't even know the show existed until this happened.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But once he did, you could be sure that when we ran into Jason around town in Madison, he was really happy to see all of us.
I like how his response to that was, I don't think about you at all, Rich.
Yeah. So Sean Thompson was the co-host of this show.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Guilty by association.
Yeah. So Sean would be right there with Rich laughing every time someone would be like, you know, bleep Jason Wildy. So, yeah, so that's why I'm saying if Sean Thompson ends up as a co-host of this show, you just wonder if Jason has any chip. But it's Jason, you're saying no chip on the shoulder. So when we watch Enigma 2, because I've heard that after the success of Aaron Rodgers' show on Netflix, they may be picking up a second season, and it's going to be the Jason Wilde enigma story. So when we watch season two, Sean Thompson won't be a target of you on Enigma.
Well, I just hope if we do that, that they interview you and you tell the truth. Because 30 to 40 calls a day, really? 30 to 40.
I mean, after I said the Black Wolf were a jewel, I think we left the truth on this story a long time ago, Jason.
I'm reading some interesting things about the Wolf Den in the day, you know, at Warner Park. I mean, they ended up selling to a team. They turned into a team in Nebraska.
The Lincoln Salt Dogs,
that is still currently business.
All this means is Vern Stenman and whatever and the shoebox and what's his name from the shoebox?
Steve Schmidt.
Yep. They deserve a ton of credit because, I mean, Jason, you could speak to it. There were probably 7-8 minor league teams, the Madison Mad Dog football team, the Madison Kodiak hockey team. There were so many minor league teams that didn't make it, and what the Madison Mallards have done in Madison is just absolutely incredible.
The origin story, though, of Jimmy Buffett being an original investor for the $500,000 that was invested to create the Black Wolf, I feel like it's a story that needs to be told still.
Yeah. I mean, a 30 for 30 on all of the Madison minor league teams that ends with the Mallards making it work. I mean, Jason, it's amazing you didn't put the Mallards out of business also.
Well, they did a great job of managing their team. They also have college players, which at least before NIL, and I don't know if this has changed, but the biggest issue for the Madison Black Wolf was that it was a professional league that was unaffiliated. Yep. Like the Madison Muskies, which did really well as a Oakland A's affiliate for a really long time. The Madison Mad Hatters, who were the minor league affiliate for the St. Louis Cardinals. You're right. The Madison Monsters hockey team, whose first coach was Mark Johnson from the Miracle on Ice. And not even Mark Johnson, who's obviously been a phenomenal coach at UW for the women's hockey team, could really help pack them into the Dane County Coliseum. But those teams all had to pay their players. And it does help when you have college players playing summer baseball and you can invest and reinvest into the fan experience. Because having been to Mallards games, it is a million times more well-run, entertaining than the Black Wolf games were. And if the Black Wolf had been honest, I think Madison area baseball fans would have said, I would love to try and help save this team. And instead, it didn't quite go that way.
I just want to know how the manager at the time, Dirty Al Gallagher.
Dirty Al Gallagher saved our company's life. What? So we had a rib. Oh, my God. He saved us. Good karma would not exist today.
Dirty Al.
If it wasn't for Dirty Al Gallagher.
What did Dirty Al do?
Oh, Jason, do you remember when Dirty Al Gallagher, he literally saved the, oh, it might have been, that was when Jason still wasn't talking to us. So we had a rib eating, contest called the Rib Bowl at Damon's on the east side, and we didn't necessarily have insurance, and we didn't necessarily have EMS or anything, and one of the competitors was choking.
Oh my goodness.
And probably would have died and probably would have ended good karma 25 years ago, and Dirty Al Gallagher somehow popped him in the back. I don't think Dirty Al used like a systematic Heimlich maneuver, but he definitely got the wing out of the rib out of the guy's lodged larynx or wherever.
So
it was.
You own the incredible success that is Good Karma to a man by the name of Dirty Al.
Oh yeah, Dirty Al saved. From then on, I was like, all right, we need EMS there. We need like
first
responders.
Where's Dirty Al these days?
Oh, I think we may have lost Dirty Al.
Okay, yeah, that no sounds like us. A guy that was born in 1920s.
Yeah, I don't know that Dirty Al. I mean, Dirty Al might,
rest in power, Dirty Al.
He lived hard. So, I think Dirty Al lived hard.
So two more things about the infamous Madison Black.
By the way, I hope we don't send out alerts like, want to hear about the Packers playoff game? Tune in now for Jason Wilde on
Al,
Sunday Karma.
Dirty Al.
They'll still be disappointed right now if they tuned on.
Passed in 2018.
Oh, all right.
I actually did a eulogy at the funeral. I'd forgotten about it. No, I did not. At what age was Dirty Al when he passed?
He was born in 1940. He was at age 73. He passed.
Yeah, he lived hard. He wasn't going to see 80, man. Dirty Al, man.
Okay. I mean, he played in Major League Baseball though.
Wow,
played four seasons.
Where did the nickname Dirty Al come from? Did they say anything about the nickname?
Is there a statue? By the way, is there no statue at the? Get Brian Lamy on the phone. Why is there no Dirty Al at the Wisconsin Hall of Fame? The Wisconsin Hall of Fame, we need a plaque for a Dirty Al. All right.
Hopefully Dirty Al did not pass away the way he conducted his post-game interviews, which he was a major leaguer. In all seriousness, and RIP to him, but I did learn a lot about baseball by talking with him. The people that were the manager, the people on the team, they were good people that were trying to play baseball until they could play it no more, right? And so, but.
And by play it no more, it meant once Wildy put him out of business. Yes.
I may have helped.
All right, wait. Wildy, keep going. Yeah, there's two more things we need to hear.
Dirty Al used to conduct his post game interviews naked, sometimes sometimes not, with his feet up on the desk.
The angle of interviewing was
not ideal.
Wow.
That's one.
By the way, that was a big controversy because it took him a while. He didn't want women in the locker room, and then we had to explain to him that Wildy wasn't a woman. He just had feelings. So that was the first thing. All right, yeah, what was the second thing?
And then the second one, you guys know I love the book and the movie Moneyball. And the actor who plays the original scout, that is the old school scout that gets fired by Billy Bean / Brad Pitt.
Yeah, that's like an iconic scene, right?
Yes. His name is Ken Medlock. He was a real major league pitcher and was the pitching coach for the Madison Black Wolf. So when you see him in that movie, he's in some other movies as well. He is probably the most famous Madison Black Wolf ever. And he was fantastic guy to talk to and interview. And I learned a lot from him. Just in fairness, too. And I know that this is a hard comp to make. But once upon a time, the St. Paul Saints, who I think are a Twins affiliate now, but back then they were in the same league. And they did such an incredible job of drawing people to the ballpark in a town with a major league team that there was a success story for the Northern League that gave you kind of a blueprint to try and succeed. Unfortunately, Dirty Al Gallagher and Ken Medlock were not on their coaching staff, so they did not have a job after a while.
The Dirty Al stories, by the way, are incredible. Number 14th overall draft pick in the 1965 draft to his hometown Giants. He once compiled a 25-game hit streak while wearing the same unwashed uniform and undergarments.
Disgusting.
That's how he got his nickname.
Yeah. Well, as a member of the Giants, he spent half the time on his belly or his backside, which is why he was given the nickname Dirty Al. And he once participated while he was attending.
By the way, we'll go back to your thing. It's like Chicago. You think it's the Windy City because it's very windy. You think Dirty Al got the nickname because he never changed his underwear. But it's actually because he was a scrappy catcher.
Yes, exactly. And once while attending a football game with a date, he participated in a greased pig chase at halftime and returned to his date with grease covering his shirt. And it's how he was dressed at the post-game dance.
Yeah.
Do we know if he married that woman? Do we know what the history
is?
But
he was the first native San Franciscan to play with the San Francisco Giants and is in the top five of most colorful, borderline eccentric San Francisco Giants ever. According to the Mercury News.
Wait, there's four more than Dirty Al?
They do.
They say
Greg Minton, John Montefusco, Champ Summers, and Hunter Pence round out the top
five. Okay, John the Count Montefusco. Yes. I could understand that. All right, we'll have more on the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles with Jason Wildy as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Let me tell you. You're my little boo thing, so I'll give a hoot. what you do, say, girl, I know you a little too tame. I'll be shooting that shot like 2K, girl, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you found a little something too fresh, I know. Tell him I'm next. Tell him you found a little something too fresh, I know.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Continuing with Jason Wilde. As if you missed last segment, you missed a lot of a breakdown of this game and understanding of a lot of the things that just the average football fan may not see when they're looking at the Packers-Eagles game. So make sure to go back to Wisconsin On Demand and listen to the last segment of this show. Jason, you know, I was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and just listening to them all week and being around this team here, it's like I don't understand. It's like this Packers season's already over, but then you look at the national media, you look at ESPN's football predictor, it says the Packers are 50.1% to win this game. Which side of this are you on?
All right. First of all, is a predictor effective when it basically says it's a 50-50 shot? Like, I guess I don't understand what exactly that's predicting then. Also, I thought our first segment was very similar to our preview of the Super Bowl last year on Wilde and Tausch, which we spent with Tausch telling us how much Ed Helms sucked on The Office, and we never actually got to the game. There is a path to victory for the Packers here. No one is saying that they have no chance, okay? And there
No, that's what Kyle's saying. Saying they have no chance.
Kyle, I don't want to diagnose. Don't diagnose me, bro, but I'm going to diagnose you anyway. You're trying to protect yourself from the disappointment that may be coming.
Oh, that's the straw man. That was the straw man thing. Yes. But that's not gaslighting.
Different than gaslighting.
Jason, yeah. What I said is they have no business winning this game. I didn't say they can't. I said they have no business.
That makes it sound like you're saying they can't
what
win.
What is that?
Yeah, what's the difference?
If they win the game, this is a big upset. This is a big upset.
It's not.
But it's not.
It's a five.
It's not Denver going to Buffalo.
Okay, wait.
It's
was
not
the Texans
Pittsburgh going to Baltimore?
Was the Texans beating the Chargers a big upset yesterday?
No.
Well, that
they were 3.5-point underdogs.
That was a 3.5-point at home, whereas this is 5 points on the road. I think it's pretty similar.
Are we comparing? What are they? A four
and
seed?
Opened at 3.5.
A four seed who won? I don't know what. Both those teams won 10 games this year.
Yeah,
we're comparing
11.
Comparing it to
an 11-win Packers team.
No. To an Eagles team that is a legitimate threat to win a Super Bowl. Nobody thought either. We weren't watching
all right, Jason,
a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl yesterday.
And like, aren't people saying the Packers have a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
Bill Barnwell has picked them to go to the Super Bowl. He has. So if you are a Bill Barnwell aficionado and you enjoy his analysis, which is built.
Oh, I can't wait till the Bill Barnwell episode of Enigma when the Wilde Bill Barnwell stuff gets revisited.
I get along with Bill fine. What I'm saying is,
there's a rivalry there. We know it. There's a rivalry there.
No, but as he would tell you, it's not like he's interviewing scouts and getting their insight on what they see on film of this team. So he's going by analytics, and if the analytics prove right, he has every right to take a victory lap when the Packers are in the Super Bowl. But I've been around them all year long, and the way that they have played doesn't give me a ton of confidence that they are going to go into Philadelphia today and win. But there are certain things that are in their favor. One is certainly that Jalen Hurts has thrown 4 passes in a month. He has not played in a game in the last 3 weeks. He was knocked out of that Washington game early in the second quarter on what looked like a fairly innocuous play. Like, he did not get, like, headhunted. He hit the ground at the end of a run, and he was ready to stay in the game. And the spotter upstairs radioed down and had him removed from the game, and then he didn't play again the rest of the season. So that's one. The other thing, I don't think we should underestimate this. And if you're Kyle and you want this team to win, one of the best things that the Packers have going for them is that they are not the team under pressure here. Philadelphia and the dynamic with that team and what has happened in the last 3 seasons to the Eagles, making the Super Bowl and losing, Sirianni loses both of his offensive and defensive coordinators to head coaching jobs, right? One to Arizona, one to Indianapolis. Last year, they start, what, 10-1?
Mm-hmm.
Crater, lose their playoff game on the road to Tampa Bay. He fires both of those coordinators, hires Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator and Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator, and they go 14-3, and they're being viewed, as Kyle just said, as a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC. If they don't have a huge amount of pressure on them, I don't know what we're watching.
I mean, Jason, especially at home, home, don't you feel like a few 3-and-outs, or especially actually worse for the Eagles, like one of those
turnover?
He goes for it early on a fourth down that the Eagles fans don't like. Like, I feel like it could turn ugly. It could be like 7-3 Packers and feel like the Eagles fans are really angry.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's my point, is that there are certainly things that are in the Packers' favor. But the problem is, if you've watched them in recent weeks, and look, I know Strofe and I know Kyle wanted them to be coming into this with the momentum that they had last year, right? 1-3 in a row. There were some really good things going on. They had a great vibe. And I love the fact that Matt LaFleur, if you go back, was talking about momentum last year when they'd won 3 in a row. And this year, when he was asked if he believed in momentum, he said no. That's because they've lost 2 in a row going into the playoffs. So the reality is that they don't go in with a great vibe, a great feeling, but they're still the less pressured team. And we have seen glimpses of how good they can be. The problem is, can they put that together in one game on the road, win or go home, against a really good team? And we don't have the problem I have with saying, I like their chances to win, or picking them to win, is that I don't have any evidence from watching them this season that gives me a whole lot of, I could say it's because of this or it's because of this. They're trying to figure out all week, all right, how are we going to approach Jalen Hurts this time? Because the way we approached him in the first game was wrong, right? That mush rush where they didn't really pressure him, they didn't really get after him. Well, they have to be able to do a better job against him. Saquon Barkley had 109 yards rushing, and he also had a touchdown receiving. He had 3 touchdowns that day in Brazil. They better figure out a better way to contain him. So there are a bunch of things that they need to do to be successful, but I'm not saying that they're incapable of doing it.
Wait, and Jason, have you seen in your time, like, are there certain guys who are just like, have that it, that can elevate themselves in those moments, right? Because Jordan Love played the best game of his entire career to this point, mm-hmm, against the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs last year. Is there a chance that Jordan Love's just like one of those it guys who today, you know, is what we saw as a 7 seed last year going on the road against an NFC East team?
Well, he is capable of having those moments. But let's, again, look at the way last year unfurled, the way he was playing going in. He was the Bears game. I know they only won 17-9.
I was going to say, the defense dominated in that game, right? He wasn't that good, was he?
He was 27 of 32. For 316 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not that good.
He was great.
Not bad.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah, but he only scored 17 points. He must have done something wrong.
Right, exactly.
What, did he lose 4 fumbles or something?
So that was the way he was playing going into the playoffs last year. What he did in Dallas was, again, not surprising. It was great, and it was the best game of his career, no doubt, but it wasn't necessarily surprising. Now, again, look at, there was a window of like 3 or 4 games where we all, myself included, thought he was starting to look like the guy that he was during the second half of last season. But it was a different dynamic. It was not having to make a whole lot of throws. It was Josh Jacobs dominating the offense in a way that even Aaron Jones, who had 5 100-yard rushing games to finish last season, was not doing. And then you look at the last 2 games. He was not playing well against the Bears even before he suffered the elbow injury. He did not play well in Minnesota. And so there is not this kind of crescendo toward the playoff game like there was last year with the way he was playing. Now, can you generate that it moment, and can you create momentum when you have none with some really smart play calling and really good execution early in the game? Absolutely. And if they can go in there and get off to a hot start, they can be in a really good spot throughout the entire game. But if you look at their losses this season against good teams, almost always they fell behind, rallied late let's not just say it was cosmetic, because they were in position to take leads. In fact, in Detroit on that Thursday night, they took the lead 28-24 after getting down 17-7. All those games they rallied, it was never quite enough. They cannot go in. I hope if you're a Packers fan, you just hope that they win the toss and elect to defer, because Matt LaFleur has decided that this is the way to go. I just don't agree with him. We've seen it in a couple of instances now where it hasn't worked for him. This does not feel like a game in Philly where you want to put your offense out there first, but they cannot afford to dig a big hole like they did against Detroit the first time they played him, against Minnesota both times they played him, and then when they played Detroit again. It was only 17-7, but again, I don't think 10-point leads evaporate a lot in playoff games.
Jason, you talked about the pressure on the Eagles heading into this game and implications if they lose. Are there any implications if the Packers can't win this game? Like, what does that mean for this franchise and where they're at?
Yeah, you know, I know that there are, because there's people that are always frustrated with everybody, right? I mean, there's folks that are looking at Goody's first-round picks and saying, well, this guy's not really as good as advertised. But, I mean,
Mark Murphy will not be back if they lose this game. Let me just predict that.
Good prediction.
Indeed. His tenure will be extended by however many wins they get. But, you know, I think Goody has obviously put together a good team that the best is still in front of it. I believe that the window, you know, the Pella window is not wide open. The Pella window is, you're lifting it up, and it's more open than it was last year. And look, it was open enough that for three quarters against the 49ers, you thought Jordan Love's playing well enough to get them to an NFC championship game. Instead, he obviously plays the way he did in the fourth quarter, and they end up losing. But that window is still increasing how open it is. And is the window open where if things fall right, they can prove Bill Barnwell right? Sure. But I have said, and Rolf knows this because I said it in the trailer at Summerfest, I think they're a year away. And I thought that they would be a better team this year with a better record that might not even go as far in the postseason. And if they lose today, they will not have gone as far. But to me, and you can ask Chewy about this, about the teams in the 90s. They feel like kind of the 93, 94 Packers that you knew that they had a bunch of really good players. They're trending in the right direction. Then 95, they get that signature win against the San Francisco 49ers, the defending Super Bowl champs. They have a lead in the NFC Championship game in Dallas. They lose that game, but it's just going into 96, you're like, these guys are the guys to beat. And that's exactly what they were. I think the Packers of now are building in that direction. And while maybe the 2010 team arrived early, if you're using that idea of building toward being a Super Bowl team, and then failed to get there during the year that you thought this is what a Super Bowl team looks like in 2011, I think this team...
Actually, 2011 through 2021.
Just about. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. With few exceptions. Jason, only thing for me before we talk to you at 1 o'clock on Green Bay game day. What's been the bigger improvement defensively? Joe Barry to Jeff Hafley at coordinator, or Darnell Savage to Xavier McKinney, the all-pro at safety?
That's a really good question. And I like that it's not a yes or no question like we play yesterday.
Yeah, we'll play
no.
That about 1:30 this afternoon. Can't wait.
Yeah, appointment radio and appointment YouTube viewership. I don't know. I mean, they're both such upgrades. Like, I was talking to LaFleur on Friday for my story in today's State Journal, which I don't want to tout that as such a brilliantly written story.
I mean, not compared to the Black Wolf article, at least.
did you know Dirty Al had five middle names? Five of them. Like, he had five. His legal name Alan Mitchell Edward George Patrick Henry Gallagher. That was Dirty Al's legal name. Anyway, sorry, Jason, go ahead.
Of all the things that I thought we might be talking about today, Dirty Al Gallagher was not in my my bingo card. The impact that they have gotten from McKinney and from Jacobs
And the story kind of takes you inside this dinner they had at Lodge Kohler after those guys had agreed to terms, not yet officially signed, but agreed to terms with the team. And the feeling that those guys had when they walked out of that dinner and the feeling the coaches had, those two players have been, even though they joined a playoff team that had made the playoffs a year ago, they have been transformative. I'm not putting them in the Reggie White, Charles Woodson category yet, but it'll be interesting to see if this team wins the Super Bowl with those guys.
And by the way, today's the validation of the defensive coordinator change, right? Like, because last year, I mean, the defense was great at Dallas.
Really good in Dallas.
Right? So does Hafley need today to validate, you know, that change, or did this season already do that?
I think the season did that. My point was when talking to LaFleur for that story, you know, we talked about Hafley, and he could not emphasize enough how good he's been at adjusting both in-game and in terms of what his talent is and what things got different guys did well. And I think that was one of his frustrations with Joe Barry. But to be fair to Joe Barry, because I know Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, would like me to do that because he and Joe Barry are very close friends. Joe Barry probably is a much better defensive coordinator with Xavier McKinney as a safety, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's a great eraser. So the fact that Jeff Hafley joked about this. He was not missing that dinner with Xavier McKinney. There was so much excitement about it. He said, I would have even paid for the dinner myself because he has been a transformative player. And so, yes, Jeff Hafley's been great, but, man, having Xavier McKinney on your defense makes every defensive coordinator a lot smarter.
So basically you're saying that when the teams meet today, they both have the New York Giants to thank for their season? Because...
Undeniably. How did they – like, and I don't know Brian Daboll, and I don't know Shane, the GM, but
– Wait, by the way, did you guys see the quote about what the GM did? Jason, so I read that the New York Giants general manager during the season this year – they had a starting safety who was making like less than $3 million who before a game, he asked him to take a pay cut.
I read about this morning.
As a starting player, asked him to take a pay cut. The guy was like, no, I'm good. Like, I make like $2.8 million. I don't think I'm breaking the bank for the New York Giants. And he then called his agent and said, tell him to not pay his rent in October because we're going to cut him after the game because he didn't take a pay cut. The same guy who let Saquon Barkley go and Xavier McKinney go.
And he saved his job.
Also did that? I mean, Jason, that's happening in 2025?
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And I saw that story too. And again, I wish I understood what the Mara family's thought process was in keeping them in place, because I think we've seen people and I don't root for anybody to lose their job, but I think we've seen more qualified people who made better decisions also still lose their jobs. So, yes, this will be the Giants are stupid bowl, and whoever wins will get all kinds of reason to thank Shane and all those guys in New York.
I think you did root for the president of the Madison Black Wolf to lose his job and for Rich Reynolds. Let's be honest. You may root for some people to lose their job.
Well, not the president of the Black Wolf. Rich Reynolds for sure.
There we go.
Thanks, Jason. We'll hear you in the Wildy Hour coming up at 1 o'clock in Green Bay game day. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wildy. We will have not the 7-11, but a discussion on the future of the 7-11 when we continue with Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.